And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from Laurel House, we have its executive director, Beth Sturman, and Samantha Kohlhofer. She is the volunteer coordinator. Welcome back, Beth, and welcome, Sam. Good to have you here today.
Thank you.
Good to be here. It's good to be here.
Beth, let's get started with, would you like to give us the elevator speech on Laurel House?
Thank you, Laura. Laurel House is a comprehensive domestic violence agency. We're based in Montgomery County. Because of safety issues, a lot of times people come to us from surrounding counties as well. We provide everything from shelter to prevention, education, and all kinds of services in between. We have six different locations throughout the county where we do community counseling that's free and confidential for people who either are currently in a domestic abuse situation or have been and are looking for support around the trauma that inflicted, and also people that have recently left a situation and are looking for support to stay out of an unsafe and unhealthy relationship.
And we always think, well, we're not talking about me, we're not talking about my family, but yet, what is it? 1 in 10 teens is hit by a boy or a girlfriend. How many? Do you want to scare us with other numbers?
Well, 1 in 10 teens report the physical abuse, and the reality is that more like 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 teens experience some kind of coercive control in their dating relationships. It starts out, as with other kinds of domestic abuse, it starts out looking like, I just want to spend all my time with you, and it turns into something that's much more controlling than that. It's not really representational of the love and affection that the person feels for the other person. It's really much more control-based. And so 1 in 3 or 4 women in the United States at some point in their lifetime will experience domestic violence, and 1 in 7 to 10 men will also experience. Men tend to underreport, so the numbers aren't as clear for male victims. Those are both in same-gender relationships as well as in heterosexual relationships.
You just alluded to control, and I think most of us consider domestic abuse to be a physical act, and yet it's not.
It typically, it's so much more complex than just a hit, a shove, a push. The underlying control, the protection of where you're, the constant questioning who you're with, where you're going, how you're getting there, a lot of suspicion, a lot of jealousy, control over finances, control over living situations, control over who you're associating with. And it starts out typically very slow, and it looks like, oh, honey, can't we just stay home this weekend and just have time by with our, you know, I want to spend all my time with you. And it turns into you're not allowed to see anybody else, including your family, your best friends, your loved ones. So it becomes very isolating for the person that's being controlled.
Is there, I know you have a teaching device called the Wheel of Control, and
yes,
and you've used that in high schools. I've seen that. How does one actually realize that they're on that slippery path? Or is it a case of you don't know it until you're already being boiled and somebody else mentions it to you?
That's a good question, and I think different people come to that realization in different ways. Sometimes a friend or a family member may say, gee, I'm really concerned. We haven't seen you in a while. It seems like he wants or she wants you all to themselves, but we really miss you. Are you sure everything's okay? And sometimes maybe somebody just kind of realizes, wow, he's texting me constantly for proof of where I am, asking for pictures of, you know, you say you're at the grocery store, send me pictures of the grocery store. And somebody suddenly starts to realize this doesn't feel normal or this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like something I'm comfortable with. So I think people sort of come to the realizations in a variety of different ways that there may be an issue with the relationship. We have a lot of warning sign, red flag kinds of things that we can give to people. And if you look at our website, there are a lot of those kinds of checklists that people can look through and see. We do a lot of prevention education in middle schools, high schools, and colleges, as well as for adults in the community. And sometimes somebody will be sitting in the audience and go, oh, wow, that sounds like what I'm going through or what I've just been through.
You mentioned it doesn't feel normal, but for a lot of families, this is an intergenerational situation, unfortunately, isn't it? Does this get passed down from parents to children and on and on and on?
Sometimes, yes. And we know that children that grow up in homes where there's domestic abuse, domestic violence, are impacted in a variety of different ways. They're more likely to become victims of domestic abuse or violence. They're more likely to become perpetrators. They have problems in school. They have a variety of different behavioral problems. Maybe they shut down and they become very reclusive. There are a variety of different ways that kids manifest the symptoms of growing up in that kind of household. But what we also know is that a lot of victims are people who grew up in households that were so supportive and so loving that this is unthinkable to them and they didn't see the warning signs. A lot of the people that we serve and a lot of the families that we work with say about their loved ones who have been in domestic abuse relationships, she was the kind of kid that always brought home the stray puppies and the stray kittens. She was the kind of kid that always brought home somebody who didn't have anywhere to go for the holidays. She was the kind of kid that could see the good potential and the best in everybody. So when this starts, when people like that find themselves in this kind of relationship, they think, I must be doing something wrong, because it's so unthinkable to them that anybody could possibly treat them that way if they weren't doing something to bring it on.
Well, now that just described like there's a type to be abused or to fall victim to this. But it cuts across everything, though, doesn't it?
It does cut across everything. And it typically doesn't start out as something that's really obvious. You talked a little while ago about the boiling, you know, and we use that analogy of if you put a frog in a pan of water and the water's room temperature, the frog's happy. And then gradually you turn the temperature up, and by the time it's too hot, the frog hasn't realized that the temperature's going up until it's way too hot. And that's what happens in a lot of these relationships. By the time it gets that bad, someone is so deep in it that it's really hard to get out.
And getting out is something that you specialize in.
Getting out is something that we specialize in. We do a lot of safety planning with people who are thinking about leaving. We never, we work very hard not to give our opinions to the people that we work with. We operate on an empowerment model where we really encourage people to make their own decisions. If someone feels they need to stay in the relationship, we're not going to try to stop them from doing that. We help them safety plan whether they're staying in the relationship or whether they're trying to get out. What we know is that as people are leaving, it's the most dangerous time for physical violence and potential homicide. And that continues for a long period of time after someone leaves a relationship. It can continue for up to a few years. But certainly for 6 months to a year after someone leaves are very, very dangerous. And typically what happens is the person and the family all breathe a sigh of relief. Finally, they're out, they're safe, and kind of let their guard down. And that's actually a time that's really dangerous for the person that's left. So we work with that person to try to help them make sure that they are aware of the kinds of things to be looking out for and the ways to stay safe.
And how does one prepare for leaving? I know you have legal counsel, there is shelter, et cetera.
Right.
And what are the steps that somebody takes to extricate themselves from this? And especially when there are children involved, and we got to talk about the kids.
When there are children involved, it's really difficult. So the steps are a little bit different for everybody. We have some really basic safety planning, try to put some money aside that's just for you, that nobody else knows about, try to make sure you have important papers, maybe you leave them with a neighbor or friend, somebody you trust. There are some really basic steps, but then it's very customized, which is why it's really important to work with a domestic violence advocate to come up with a safety plan that's personal for that person or that family. With children involved, it can be much more complex, especially with custody issues. So we really encourage people, talk to an advocate. We have an attorney on staff who works with the clients that come to us for help, as well as legal advocates, and talk to people who can really help you walk through the steps of how to extricate not only yourself, but your kids from the situation.
And you do have shelters that are secret.
We do have a shelter for women and children when we have male victims right now, because our shelter is a communal shelter. We put the male victims in hotels and provide similar services to what we provide in shelter. Our shelter consists 9 bedrooms. We can serve 27 people at a time. And we've been full for several months now. So we know that that's a huge need as well.
Okay. And, of course, if you are in a situation or if you aren't sure, there is a 24-hour hotline you can call, 1-800-642-3150. That's 800-642-3150. And we'll repeat that a few times through the show today. You operate shelters. Obviously, you need volunteers.
We do. And we are lucky to have Samantha as our volunteer coordinator, and we're lucky to have her here with us this morning.
One of the main things I want to do as the volunteer coordinator is to get out into the community and let people know who we are. So like you said, it's important for people to have the phone number, and it's important for people just to know that we exist. I will have people come up to me at a community day and take a card or take a pamphlet, put it in their pocket. Some people will take a pen or something and leave and never say anything to us. And then we find out later that they reached out to us because they saw us in the community. The other big thing we have are many, many events that we like to get out there. It's a way to fundraise so we can continue to keep our shelter growing. And we've got a lot of good things. The next thing coming up is our fun run September 14th. That's in Huntington Valley area through our affiliate Nicole's Place. We have a 5K dash on October 20th, and that is in Upper Gwynedd. I believe WMMR's Preston will be the MC of that. That's always a really great event. It's fall, it's crisp, it's hot chocolate, and exercise for people that feel that they need to do that. right before, actually, that run is the Breaking the Silence Luncheon, which is at Overbrook Country Club. That is October 16th, also a big day for us. We have, I'm sorry, I was going to keep going. We've got a drag show bingo in November at Montgomery County Community College this year, which is hilarious. I volunteered last year. This year, I think I'm actually going to pay to go because it's that that good. I was going to say the last big thing is we have our gala next April, in which Preston will be honored, and that's at Green Valley Country Club in Lafayette Hill. People don't think domestic violence exists. They don't, like you said early in the show, they don't think it happens to them. And as Beth said, our 27-bed shelter is full and has been full for a couple months, which means it does exist. And it's here and it's in our backyard.
It's interesting you mentioned that somebody will pick up a pen, because a pen is an innocent thing that you can have in your hand. But I see your message everywhere. And not just because I know you, you're one of my favorite people. I see the name, but I'll be at the doctor's office and go to the restroom to wash my hands off, and there are the posters in
Great.
There. I see you in the library. I'll see the little pamphlets there, just sitting there amongst everything else. You're trying to reach people where they can get the message without advertising that they're looking for the message.
Absolutely. We have 2 thrift stores also, Marion's Attic in King of Prussia and Laurel's Loft in Lansdale. And they both have the information by the register, too. So you can literally, I went in to buy my daughter back to school clothes, and you could pick up a pamphlet right there. And it's not saying I need help or my sister needs help or my niece or cousin or somebody needs help, but you can just take something, leave it in your car, leave it in your dashboard. Every time I go to those stores, the piles are going down. People are taking them, which is a huge way to do outreach in the community without being necessarily in someone's face saying, I think you need help today. You need to call now.
And, of course, if you are going to call, the number is 1-800-642-3150. That's the hotline. It's 24 hours a day. Start the relationship now with a counselor. If you're not sure, if you're not ready, just start that conversation as soon as you possibly can. And for more information about Laurel House, go to laurel-house.org. That's laurel-house.org. And we're talking to the executive director of Laurel House, Beth Sturman, today, and the volunteer coordinator, Samantha Kohlhofer. And again, for more information, laurel-house.org. I'm Laura Lewis. You're listening to Our Delaware Valley. And this has a real impact on all of us, domestic abuse. The cost is like over $8 billion a year in services, thanks to this issue. And with at least, you know, like 15 million kids are living in a household where there's partner violence. And the ongoing trauma from that as they grow older and work their way through the school system needing extra support and care and the tsunami that this creates here, this is something that affects absolutely everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And one of the other services that we provide along with education for the students is training for staff in elementary, middle schools, high schools. So because we used to go in and we'd say to the kids now, you know, if you're concerned about yourself or a friend, go and find a trusted adult to talk to. And we realized that the trusted adults don't know what to say in response to this kind of problem. So now we're working directly with school staff as well, including, you know, the cafeteria folks, the person that sits at the reception desk, because a lot of times kids will talk to somebody in the lunch lady before they'll talk to a guidance counselor. So we're trying to train as many different school administrators, school staff as we possibly can so that they know how to help these kids if the kids do come forward.
And of course, if someone does approach you, you can call that number to get information and help and a way to reach out, because "Are you okay?" is possibly the first lifeline that somebody's going to get.
Absolutely.
Working with the parents, though, when somebody is in an abusive relationship, their parenting is going to be suffering as well.
Yes.
And that's part of your mission as well.
Thank you. It is. We have a family advocate who works very closely with the parents that we serve so that they can be better equipped to understand and address the different issues that their children might be exhibiting from having been exposed to this kind of domestic abuse or domestic violence. We also have a children's advocate who works directly with the kids. And then our counselors, all of our trained counselors are people who also know how to help the people who come in for counseling, so that one of the biggest issues that people, parents, bring up when they come in to see a counselor is, how can I help my kids? It's one of the biggest worries that people have is about, I can see how this has impacted my child or my children. How can I help? And our counselors are all trained to work with them to help them make sure that their kids have as much support as possible. And what we know is that if a parent is taken care of for themselves, they'll be much better able to take care of their kids. So the more we can address the safety and the emotional trauma issues that the parents have experienced, the better equipped they're going to be to work with their kids.
Our counselors are all master's level or above, and completely free. So you're not going to see it on an explanation of benefits. You're not going to have to make any excuses for why you possibly saw a counselor. It will show up nowhere, and it's completely confidential, which I think is something that not a lot of organizations offer, and definitely a plus that Laurel House does.
When someone picks up the phone and they reach out to Laurel House in particular here, how do they interact with you? They see you? Do they come to an office setting?
We have administrative offices in East Norriton that are public, known to the public, right on Germantown Pike in East Norriton. And we have other offices throughout. We've got a church space in a couple different cities, areas. And we also do phone. We can do Skype conferencing or phone conferencing or counseling, whatever really works best for the individual. Sometimes it's difficult for moms to get childcare. So if Laurel House can help get a childcare volunteer in, then we'll meet with them in person and the child. We have a great playroom in our administrative offices. If not, we'll do it on the phone. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know for sure, but if we would meet somebody at a Starbucks, if they need to get the services.
Or the pizza place.
Or wherever. Yeah, we'll come to them if necessary.
So that does take a lot of personnel. You got to have a lot of feet on the ground there. So
yes.
What are you looking for in a volunteer?
For volunteers, we really are looking for, there's two different kinds. There's certain volunteers that need 40 hours of JARS training through PCADV, which is the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And then they would be trained to do a variety of different things. The others, volunteers, just need their child care clearances and FBI background checks, which are pretty basic. And then they're qualified to work a tabling event or help out doing administrative. I was mentioning all the events that we have. All of those events come with invitations, which need to be stuffed and stamped and all that. We have front desk help we need. Sometimes people want to come in and just be a part of us, and they will be happy to answer our phone for a couple hours if our admin is on vacation, which we reluctantly let her do once in a while. So we'll take anyone. I mean, some people do have a background of a DUI or something, and we'll talk through that. That is not necessarily going to mean that you cannot be a volunteer for us. We certainly understand if you've had things in your past that you're not super happy about, that's not going to mean you cannot be a volunteer for Laurel House. We'll talk it out and work it through and find the best fit for you, and then it will definitely be the best fit for us.
And I'm going to guess that the trained volunteers are the ones who would be staffing the desks, answering the phone
yes.
for the hotlines.
You need to have the 40 hours of training to answer the hotline and to be a member of the DART team, which is our domestic abuse response team. And I'm going to let Beth take that one.
Yes, do take that one.
Okay, thank
you. Describe DART.
Our domestic abuse response. Thank you, Samantha. Our domestic abuse response team is an amazing group of people. We have some paid staff, and then we have 14 incredible volunteers. So anytime law enforcement, we have 51 police departments in Montgomery County, and we have 9 hospitals. So when a hospital or a member of law enforcement calls the DART line, which is a separate line, either a staff member or a volunteer will go out on the spot wherever the incident occurred as soon as it's safe for a civilian to be present and work directly with the victim and any kids involved. And that's where, Laura, you brought up the kids earlier. That's where the children, you know, right after an incident in a home, the children are pretty frazzled and scared, and they maybe just saw the abuser taken out of the home. In this case, you know, typically it's mom who's the victim, and she's pretty upset herself. And so the DART volunteers go out and work not only with the victims, but also with the children.
And how do you work with hospitals and law enforcement? And are they getting the training and the background information that they need? And this is obviously, especially for law enforcement, this can be a dangerous situation for them.
It can be very dangerous. We work very closely. We're very fortunate. The DART team also does a lot of training for law enforcement and for all medical personnel. And we work very closely with the county detectives and the district attorney's office as well to help provide training related to warning signs, how to identify victims, how to support victims. We're very lucky in our county. We have a very supportive group of law enforcement personnel who really recognize that this is a serious problem and who are really great about the ways that they respond to this issue. And same with our hospitals and our medical personnel.
I was going to say, it's no accident that when you went to the doctor's office, you saw our flyers in the
right.
bathroom. We have maybe 30 or 40 volunteers that took a medical bag to each and every doctor's office in Montgomery County throughout to make sure that the doctors and their staff are aware of who we are and what we do, and to make sure there's tear-offs in the bathroom. I got a mammogram not too long ago, and I was thrilled to see in the dressing room, the only thrilling thing of that experience, that there was a tear-off there. Do you not feel safe at home? Grab something. Again, I could have stuck it in my pocket, stuck it in my purse, and nobody would have been any the wiser, but I had that power and that safety just from going to basically a routine annual appointment.
And that's the thing. When you mentioned you serve people from outside your county, there's a large network. No matter who hears this, there is help.
Yes, absolutely. And if people from outside the county call our hotline and for whatever reason what we have to offer isn't what they're looking for or what they need, we will connect them to domestic violence agencies in their county or in their immediate area. Every county in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has at least one agency that's designed specifically to work with domestic violence.
And that applies to Delaware and New Jersey as well?
Absolutely.
Now, I think I've mentioned this a few times, that it's "Are you okay?" can possibly be the first time somebody even brings this idea up. What does a friend or a family member or, you know, even a coworker?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big situation there. When you think that something is going wrong, how should you respond?
So one of the most important things is to not push the person into making decisions they're not ready to make. Gentle approach. I'm concerned about you. You seem withdrawn. We haven't seen you for a while. But to not impose your own ideas on the person about what you think they should do. Telling someone, you just need to get out of that situation, or I would never put up with that, just really pushes the person further away. And if they decide to stay, it's going to make them less likely to share about it with you later. Our counselors are also available to talk with family members and friends who are worried about, and coworkers who are worried about somebody that they work with, love, neighbors, friends. We oftentimes have adults who come to us because they're worried about their teenagers or they're worried about a relationship that one of their adult children is in, and our counselors will help them work through their own feelings about that and then the best ways to approach that person that they're worried about.
There is nothing worse than offering an opinion and then they stay with that person.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're too uncomfortable and too embarrassed later to come back and tell you that it's happened again. Mm-hmm. So you want to always leave the door open for that person to come back and talk about whatever's going on.
And again, that number to call, the hotline number, is 1-800-642-3150. Anyone can pick up and call that number, 800-642-3150. We ran through the events so quickly. Let's start with the, you have the second annual Nicole's Place 5K Fun Run and 1 Mile Walk, September 14th in Huntington Valley at Lower Moreland School. But then you have October 20th, you have a run going on where?
Yes, that is at Upper Gwynedd Township Park, right off of Sunnytown Pike in Lansdale. It is by Norgwen Pool. If anyone knows where that is, happens to be my pool. And it is a great event. It's a beautiful course. And we get a lot of people out. We need a lot of volunteers to help do mile markers and distribute the hot chocolate. Like I said, we have live music. It's a really fun event. This is our 20th anniversary. And you can register for that now on our website.
And on October 6th, 16th, is Breaking the Silence Luncheon. And who should attend that?
Well, anybody should attend that. Breaking the Silence this year, this is an annual event. It was started many, many years ago by a group of women in high-end communities who were concerned because even within a gated community, there were 4 different police incidents related to domestic violence in a short period of time. And they realized, oh my gosh, if this can happen here, it can happen anywhere. And they started this event. This year's Breaking the Silence lunch, as Sam said earlier, is at Overbrook Country Club. And it's a unique presentation this year in that it focuses on a panel of people from the media who will be talking about the ways that the media addresses domestic violence, both the issue in general and then when, in response to specific domestic incidents when they come, you know, when they're big news stories. So it's open to anyone, registration on our website, and I think it'll be a really interesting presentation that pretty much anybody would benefit from attending.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know, our own Beasley Media Group, MMR, WMMR's Preston, is actually going to be on that panel. And then later on in the year, of course, there is the fabulous drag bingo coming up. And that is absolutely hilarious. And I know that it sells out every year. And it is fun and wonderful. And you have the fun gala coming up in April. And for more information about all of those, we get them on your website, correct?
Absolutely.
And more information about anything that we talked about here. And if you're an educator, if you run a church group, or you are a civic organization and you'd like more information, contact them for... You'll come out and you'll talk to them.
We absolutely
will. We love doing that. Absolutely.
And you'll get a great volunteer. Or you'll get someone to come out there and tell you the warning signs, how to deal with this situation that, again, it crosses all boundaries, all ethnicities, all financial situations, all age groups. Domestic abuse is with us. And for more information, go to laurel-house.org. That's laurel-house.org. And again, the 24-hour hotline number is 800-642-3150. And here's where I thank you both for coming in today. Volunteer coordinator Samantha Kohlhofer and the executive director of Laurel House, Beth Stern. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us. It's been great.
Welcome back anytime. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.